What's up, guys? Jared here to tell you a few things real quick before we start today's episode of Football and Random Things. I just want to remind you guys that on August 24th, we will be having our annual Cyclone Fanatic kickoff party out at Barntown Brewing on the Waukee side of West Des Moines. We'll be unveiling the new Cyclone Fanatic beer. We'll be having all kinds of prizes. And, you know, anybody that's ever come out to one of those parties knows usually how those things go. And then we'll also be raising some money for a family from back in my and Chris's hometown that's in need right now. So we hope to see you guys out there on August 24th at Barntown Brewing on the Waukee side of West Des Moines. Now, time for a new episode of Football and Random Things. Welcome to another edition of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. I feel like I brought that in a very calm and relaxed voice because it keeps cracking in my ears. We're going to keep our voices at a very tone today.
We're trying to make this podcast more like Criminal, where everything is much more controlled, much more set up, and deliberately planned. I'm Phoebe Judge.
Have you ever listened to the...
To fart.
It's Football and Random Things, as always in the Carl Chevrolet Studios.
What episode are we on?
36?
3000.
What?
5011.
Sure. Sure. Wow.
We're both coming back from vacation here.
That's true.
There's a whole lot of, like, I think we're both kind of juiced up officially, being like, all right, well, it's vacation. That's the end of summer vacation. Not like summer vacation like you're in high school. Like, towards the end of the calendar of the summer, you take one vacation to kind of ramp up for football season because everything gets really busy when it gets there. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, okay, well, took my breath. Let's get ready to do some professional wind sprints.
I've been ready. I was at football practice on Friday.
Ooh, I'm actually planning on going.
Two football practices.
I'm planning on going on Wednesday.
I'm going to guess that you're going to see more on Wednesday than I saw on Friday. They'll probably actually have like pads on and everything.
What, this is practice 3-4?
Today would be practice 3.
Okay. Yeah, so practice 3 today. So I think the acclimation period, that would be practice number
5,
which would be the first day of pads if the acclimation schedule is the same.
Ooh.
Which would be the first day of pads if it's the same as it was when I was there. I don't know if they've lengthened that or changed it at all, because it was always helmets, shells, pads.
I want you to take an audio recording of just some guys hitting.
The grunts. And then the funnier sounds, which no one really hears, like they don't put this on, you know, you're mic'd up, whatever, is like the groan that you have when you get off the ground. Because when you get hit real good, it's like, and like you stand back up and you have to like pull yourself out. And like, but that's just when you're by yourself. Like you don't do that groan when you're around other people, because it's kind of like showing weakness. But like when you get hit or you fall down and then you have to like get back up, you're like, and then you're like, all right, let's do it again. And like you run back, and you're like, I'm fine.
Did you see they had the mic'd up videos from the first couple of days of practice? They had one with Speedy, Datron Young.
No, I didn't. No, well, I mean, I saw that they're there. I was again on vacation, so I didn't really like sit down and scroll through Instagram much.
They did one with Charlie Kohler. And he might have been the worst person ever to mic up. Doesn't say anything.
He's a 4-point engineering student, and from what I hear, he is like the quintessential example of the 4-point engineering student.
Yeah. Basically, they have like a minute and a half video, and he says like 5 words.
Neat.
Other than that, he just plays football.
Neat. Good job. Really, it's fine. Maybe they're just getting it out early, and like, let's just... Eventually, by the time season rolls around, like we already have some B-roll of Charlie in the hopper, so they can pull it back out and play it somewhere. It didn't go as planned.
I want them to mic up. Who could they mic up? I want them to mic up someone that like really will not say anything. Who, like Ray Lima? I can't imagine Ray Lima would say a single word during practice.
Ray Lima is probably like the only thing that he's going to be communicating is with his coach about what he did. And what he saw.
It's a yes, sir, no, sir.
It's going to be a yes, sir, no, sir. And I'm sure if he goes up to whatever one of the defensive coaches is like, hey, so what did you see there? What did you feel there? And he's pressure on my left side.
And that's it.
All right, got it. Just, I mean, if you feel that, you just got to make sure you fight back to, I mean, fight into that pressure. Just make sure you get across his face. Yes, sir. And that's it. Like, that's the whole thing.
Yeah, in the Charlie video, he just says, at the very beginning, he's saying, he's like, when they mic you up, all of a sudden, everybody's a lot nicer to you.
I don't think they ever mic'd me up for practice.
You would have been funny to have mic'd up.
I feel like it would have been fun. I mean,
you would have been like, you would have probably been out of character almost, like talking more.
Well, so my thing,
I envision you like talking to the microphone.
Like monologuing?
Yeah.
I would monologue. Yeah. I would definitely monologue.
Yeah.
But like at practice, it's different. I mean, I'm still haven't, like, I enjoy myself at practice and I'm still joking around, but it's, there's kind of the like the 50% of me that is very like, it's time to work. We have to work.
Right.
And then there's the 50% of me that's absolutely just like a color chart. That's just, well, it's just whatever random crap is going to be up there. So like, usually
so basically it's exactly like this podcast.
Yep. It's the same thing. It's the football part and the random things part. And so like when I was at practice, most of the time I was really dialed in about what I was doing. Like I never missed, because I think it also kind of comes from the being a walk-on background where like you don't get a lot of reps. So you have to be really good at taking mental reps. So for the time that you walk in to the time that you leave, you have, a really good sense of how to practice without being on the field.
Right.
And so like, I don't know if I would have been super fun because I was always watching everything all the time. And so even if I wasn't on the field, like I wasn't, and I also didn't trash talk much, although like it would have been that kind of fun of saying like the trash talk complimenting. It was like, hey,
nice hit, baby.
Good job, Jake. Thanks, man. You too. That's it. Like just interacting with your friends.
You say it, you're like, good job, Jake. And he's, thanks, you too. And you're like, I was kidding. That sucked.
Piss off, God.
You suck, dude.
That wouldn't be a good idea.
Are you talking about Jake McDonough?
Either one. McDonough would be fun would have been fun to mic up. He might have actually had it happen a couple times because he's a,
I would hope he would start rapping.
He's
in the middle of his,
absolute goofball.
Oh yeah, we had Jake on a podcast.
Absolute goofball. So
Jake's
him,
awesome.
He can't. I don't think he can turn that off. There's half of my brain that I can tap into when I need to. Like, it's time to be serious. It's time to work. I don't think Jake has that half of his brain. It's like, I'm here because I'm the nicest person on the planet. Hi, why are you trying to hit me? That's rude. And then just goes to just knock somebody over. Big old teddy bear.
Reminder to everybody, if you love Cyclone Fanatic, you'd like to rep Cyclone Fanatic. Cyclone Fanatic has a team store. teamcloset.com/CycloneFanatic. We have licensed Cyclone Fanatic apparel, or Iowa State apparel now. There's some sitting right there on this chair.
Some hashtag swag.
It was the incorrect size. Michael, please send me some swag of the correct size. I sent you a message in Slack, but I'm giving you a reminder now. Public blast.
Nudge, nudge.
Nudge, wait. Nudge. Nudge, nudge. I designed that logo. I want a shirt with it on it.
If it's an adult large, I know a guy who would...
It is an adult large, but I don't know whose it is. I don't know if it belongs to someone else. I mean, I would be fine with giving it to you, but I'm also concerned that it belongs to someone else, and I would give it to you.
That's Chris's?
And then I would get in trouble.
And it's Chris's.
I think Chris wears the same size I do, so.
Oh, okay.
So I don't think it's his.
Children's medium?
I mean, you could probably take it. I don't think anyone would really even know.
Well, now they would know.
Well, it's if they listen to the podcast.
Does everybody fart on a Monday?
I hope so.
They
should take a laxative if not.
Boo, that's a real fart.
Some fiber.
Chris
probably has some left over.
I think we talked about this before. I don't usually listen back to our segments because I feel like I'm too critical.
Whoa. These chairs go really low.
We have we're recording on bar top chairs and Jared just dropped about a foot. But I usually don't listen back because I feel like I'm too critical of myself. And then the next time we come in, I'm trying to not do something which doesn't feel organic. The only time that I do go back is like when we were doing the fireworks thing. Chris listened to it and said that he thought it was really funny. And I was like, I don't even remember what we said. Like, and I just went back and listened to it again. Like, oh, okay. Well, so we were just making fun of Chris being a redneck and blowing stuff up.
I was on an airplane and the thing I got off the airplane and took my phone off airplane mode, and immediately I got like 10 text messages, and one of them just said, damn it, guys, and it was from Chris, and that's the only one that I saw. I was like, what did we do? Immediately I started thinking back. I was like, what did we do?
And I feel like we ride the line between like appropriate and inappropriate most of the time, where like sometimes we'll get like, like maybe we probably swear sometimes, and I think sometimes
we did get in trouble the one time.
Yeah,
gosh darn it,
darn it, drat. And so every once in a while, like that comes back. I was like, did I say something like offensive, or did I swear at a certain point that I shouldn't have? But no, it was
well, that's
just
what I was thinking. I was like, what did we do wrong? Immediately I started thinking back to the podcast, because it'd been a week since we'd recorded those when I was on the plane. And I'm like, man, what did,
so yeah, I went
what
back,
did we say
I
that possibly could be
that
getting us in trouble?
But it was a positive.
Yeah. He was kidding. Yeah,
it was a positive.
I learned later. What else do I need to say? Patreon. Oh no, back to the merchandise. We will have a place that you can purchase merchandise at the Iowa State Fair. Do you like the State Fair, Jeff?
I do like the State Fair.
I'm going to go see Toby Keith at the State Fair.
No, cool.
Want to go? You like Toby Keith?
I do like Toby Keith. I mean,
want to come with me?
You got a ticket for me?
I could probably get one.
Yeah,
I think Chris is maybe going to go, assuming that Baby Williams isn't here.
Mm, true.
We were talking about this on Friday.
What day is it?
Well, it's 1 week from today. Maybe. We could do a podcast, and then we can go to Toby Keith.
Maybe. It actually kind of sounds fun. It would be a date.
Okay. So yeah, we got the merchandise at the State Fair. I'll tell you guys where to find that after the break. I got to go back and find it in the Slack, and then the Patreon. You can always become a patron if you like Jeff Woody. Sometimes I wonder why. If you like the one half of Jeff's brain that is very professional, consider donating to the Cyclone Fanatic Patreon. All right. Today we're going to do 5 questions Jeff wants to have answered during fall camp. But first I want to talk about David Montgomery. Because he is an animal.
Yes, he is. And
he is a freak.
They are getting to see that now in Chicago.
Have you seen any of the videos of David?
I have. Yeah.
There's one that they put out this morning.
I didn't see the one this morning. I saw the one yesterday.
I think David broke 45 tackles in one play.
Was it the same one where he's kind of running off left? The camera's at a ground level, kind of behind where like the right cornerback would have been?
Yes, it's another one.
Oh, it's a different one?
Yes, it's a different one.
Ah, great.
This is from today.
Great. So
where his offensive linemen, like I think the one you're talking about is the one where the offensive linemen all stop and they're watching him thinking he's going down.
And then he
busts out of the tackle, and then all of them take off running down the field trying to find someone to block.
When I was on vacation, I went to visit my family in which is south of Chicago, and then visit.
Oh, yeah, you skipped River Ruckus. I forgot.
I did, yep. But it was great. I went out on Saturday to Bourbonnais, which is literally where, so Olivet Nazarene is the college that the Bears have practice at, mm-hmm. is in Bourbonnais, which is where my aunt and uncle live. So went out Saturday, went to the Bears practice on Sunday. He looked really good.
You went to a Bears practice?
I went to Bears practice.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I actually went to Bears practice on Sunday morning. And it was, we got a spot in like behind the end zone. And actually, two guys that were wearing Bears jerseys recognized. So I'm sitting next to my aunt, and my aunt and uncle, very successful people. He's a heart surgeon, so he's very smart, but he doesn't really understand football that well. He's just never had to. He has two daughters, and then his son was never really into sports. Mm-hmm. But he's a naval fighter pilot.
And a heart surgeon.
His son is, my cousin, is a naval fighter pilot, uncle is a heart surgeon.
So basically he's in Top Gun.
Yeah. You joke? He's literally in the next Top Gun trailer.
Seriously?
Dead serious. So my cousin Chris is he was on deployment in one of the bodies of water in the Middle East, and I forget which one it was. But he had just gotten back when they started shooting for
the Red Sea.
I don't remember which one it was. But he just got back from that deployment, and so when he just got off deployment, his CO gave him like a good amount of leave, mm-hmm. and not necessarily leave, but like he didn't have as many responsibilities when he got back. He couldn't leave the base or couldn't leave San Diego, but he did get to go do something. And they were shooting at one of the admiral's bar or one of the officers' bars and this is all through my uncle. So I talked to my cousin a little bit, but he's busy, and I talked to my uncle about it, and the story that he gave was. So because my cousin Chris got off and had time for leave, he went over and was like, well, they're shooting Top Gun over here. I'm like, hell yeah, I'm going to go and just check it out. And so because he had as much extended time as he could, they were doing multiple days worth of shooting at that bar. And so he was there multiple days in a row. Well, and because he was there multiple days in a row, or he could commit to being there multiple days in a row, he was going to be given more closer to the action spots because his face would be the same. They mm-hmm. could recreate shots from Monday
right,
to
right.
Wednesday to Thursday.
Continuity. Yeah.
And so he was able to be there. So if you were to, I think it's exactly 1:30 in the first Top Gun trailer when someone's playing the piano and singing, and everybody throws their head back to sing directly on, as you're looking at it on the right side of the screen, that face is my cousin. And then there is a point later at some point in the room where Tom Cruise gets thrown out of a, like, I don't know if it's actually in the trailer or in the movie itself, but like at some point Tom Cruise gets thrown out of the bar. One of the guys that's carrying him is my cousin, Chris. So he's actually like carrying Tom Cruise out and tossing him out of a bar.
So he met Tom Cruise.
He met Tom Cruise, and he was saying that Tom Cruise was in, like, asking him. So again, he's a helicopter pilot. He's a fighter pilot. And so he was, Tom Cruise was like asking my cousin Chris about like what he does and how he did. And my Chris told my uncle, he was like, this is going to sound really weird, but he's tiny, but he's a beautiful man.
Can he, you think he's got connections to get Tom Cruise on the podcast?
Probably not. Probably not. I don't think Tom Cruise would be willing to come fart with us.
That would solidly fit within the football and in the random things.
The random things category. So much into the random things category.
What if Tom Cruise was just like secretly a closet Iowa State football fan?
Avid
Huge
fan.
Matt Campbell fan.
Big. He was, yeah, from back in his days when he was at Toledo. He's really big. No, he's at Massillon High School. He's really, you know, he's big in Ohio high school football.
Yeah.
He just knew he was going to be good. No, but to go
but
back,
David Montgomery. Yeah.
Go back to the Bears thing. So I'm sitting next to him. This is a, man, super random-y things. So I'm talking to my cousin, or not my cousin, my aunt, and I'm just sitting, like, you're kind of sitting on a hillside mm-hmm. behind the practice field, and I'm talking, and there's two guys behind me. They're in Bears jerseys. He's like, are you Jeff Woody? And I was like, yeah. And he goes, I can tell by your voice. We listen to the podcast. So shout out to those two guys. They're at Bears practice on Sunday. That was probably the most random... random interaction I've had, like, or not necessarily random, unexpected. I was not going to expect singular to Bears practice to get recognized. But anyway, so we're sitting behind in the end zone shot, so you get to see a lot of where they're going.
You're looking at the all 22.
Yeah, but different than if you're watching it from the side, it's hard as a running back to see what's going on because right. You have to work angles on linemen. You're working more gaps than space. So, like, watching from the side is really good for watching receivers and quarterbacks, but watching from the end zone shot is a lot better for seeing linemen and running backs and linebackers just because there's so much more lateral space you have to cover. And so I'm watching, and the thing that Montgomery does really well, and he always has done really well, is pace of how fast he has to go now versus how fast he has to go then. And the things that he does with that pace is when he goes to turn it on, because he is very rarely does he get to full speed. When he does get to full speed, you know, we were talking about the 40 not being like his fastest, you know, he's not Tariq Cohen, which, by the way, Tariq Cohen and Khalil Mack are the best players on the field by far. I mean, Hicks is a really good player, the nose guard, but
yeah, Akeem Hicks.
Yeah. 29 is a stud. He is so much fun to watch in person. But anyway, so, like, the thing that when Montgomery, even though he's not all that fast, one of the things that he does is the difference in speeds. Like, Greg Maddux had, like, an 89-mile-an-hour fastball, but he would still blow it by people because the average speed of his other pitches is, like, 74. So, mm-hmm. The difference between that speed is huge. So, the thing that Montgomery has, I don't know if he intentionally does it or not, but the pace that he operates in the backfield when he's making his cuts is at like 90% of his full speed, but then he goes to cut it on and it was actually like not necessarily burning people because they ended up like someone's going to end up running him down. He's not going to be the guy that's right. Busting out an 85-yard run, but he's going to pop a 40-yarder because the guys are taking bad angles because of their what they perceive his speed to be and then end up losing those angles. So even in college, he would do that. And in the pros, he's doing the same thing. He's getting away with doing the same thing because of how he just sets himself up. So he looked really good.
So you So he'll make the team?
For sure. And he's going to get carries.
Yeah.
I think Cohen is going to be their number one offensive weapon. Just because they're going to look, I'm going to guess that they're going to use him everywhere. Playing receiver, playing running back, playing slot, whatever, like everywhere.
Tariq or David?
Tariq.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I just ask that because I feel like you got to ask sometimes about the NFL. Mm-hmm. You never know. They'll cut people for nothing sometimes. Yeah. But no, I think you can tell how much they like him because of how much they put him on their social media. Mm-hmm. They did this like drawing thing and it's like they had all the, you know, haha, Clinton Dix and all the guys that they've added. And then David Montgomery is there. And well, I'm like, oh, okay.
The other thing too, like, and I think they are promoting him. And I don't know if this was just like an Instagram algorithm thing, but I was making an Instagram post of like just at Bears practice. And so I was just trying to find a sticker and I just typed in Bears. And the first one to pop up was David Montgomery, like as far as Instagram sticker. And again, I don't know if that's Instagram's algorithm knowing that like
I'm an Iowa State guy,
but like one of the things they're promoting is like, this is one of our guys. So I think
they
really like
Instagram probably knows everything about you.
They do. But the other thing that he does really well, and that kind of the attitude that he was always praised for as far as hard work is concerned in college, he has brought it into the room, and I saw other guys following his lead in what they did by the end of practice, where and you saw it every time in a practice, if there would be a muddle, just like it's a run, it's a 4-yard gain, there's just a shit pile of people, and all of a sudden somebody he's going to run, even with whistles blown, he runs 20 yards every time. Eventually every one of the running backs did that, but it didn't start like that. Like, the start of the practice was just him. You could tell, even if you weren't sure if he was in, play would be done, he would have the ball, he'd run 20 yards, and they'd swap him out.
He makes me think of the guy that even in shells, it's like the defenders like run up, you know, and they don't really tackle him, but they kind of act like they're going to, and he just keeps running, and he's like, no, you didn't bring me down. I'm not done. I'm not down. It's like, yeah, you maybe touched me. I'm not down.
Yeah.
I'm not down.
But either way, like the work ethic that he has, you can see how it's like, it is ingrained in his DNA of how to do that. And I think of all the things, that would be something you really got to like him for. And you can teach things, but it's hard to teach work ethic. And he's got that in spades. So I thought the Bears practice went really well for him. Bears fans, Trubisky still needs some work.
All right. Well, with that, we've talked a lot about the Chicago Bears today. I'm sure we'll talk about the Bears a lot, actually. I'm excited to see David play in his first game on Thursday.
I'm excited to see him, and then
he'll probably play a lot.
They're probably not going to play Tariq Cohen much at all, because they know what they've got in him.
Hakeem plays his first game too. He'll probably play a lot.
Thursday, right?
Yeah. He'll be on NFL Network.
Isn't it like 9 p.m.?
9 p.m.
off
on the NFL Network.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if David will be on TV. I'm sure you can find it somewhere.
Yeah, I'm sure someone's streaming it somewhere. It'd be stupid for...
Let's just go. Road trip. It's in Chicago.
I was just there.
So tickets are $17, Jeff. Let's go. $15.
I'll meet you there, Jared. I'll meet you there.
Soldier Field. Come on. Let's do it. Let's do it.
You got to go to break, don't you?
No. What? No. It's like we're gonna do our questions.
Oh, okay.
We'll do a couple. We're only at 20 minutes.
Oh, okay.
We'll do two questions, and then we'll do three more questions after the break.
Okay.
All right, what's question number one?
Question number one for me is...
You're for Iowa State during fall camp.
For Iowa State during fall camp. So we talked about five beforehand, and I'm going to try and remember which ones they are, because we didn't write them down because we're not that professional. But the questions are not necessarily in any specific order of like one is more important than five. It's just five questions that I would just like to have answered. One of them is in how... Who takes that X receiver position? It's a very interesting spot, because they have new guys that are in, and it's a position that you lose your best, arguably your best offensive player from. Between Butler and Montgomery, the two guys that were the show last year, and so that was your best offensive weapon, which is now one of your biggest questions. And there is kind of that's a position battle that I'm really interested in, but not just in a position battle that I'm interested in. It's as an offensive scheme battle. If they have,
how do they use that spot?
How do they use that spot? Because you have guys like Charlie Kolar, you know, Mr. Riveting Interview, like that guy can actually play that spot because he's a really good receiver. And like we talked about before, that position needs to be, not necessarily needs to be, but in conventional use is going to be your big physical wide receiver.
Right.
It's the guy that's going to win your one-on-one jump ball. It's the guy that's going to be in that, you know, the vertical seams of the zone to make a defender have to close on him when he goes to make a play. It's your big play threat. Well, Kolar, he may not be as fast as a receiver, but he's, what, 6'6", and has great ball skills. So he's a guy that can play that position, and then you can still leave Allen and Saner in as tight ends. And so are they going to play with an X wide receiver all the time, or are they going to use these tight ends as, like, flex guys? And I think that all of that kind of comes down to somebody taking a stranglehold of the job and saying, this is mine. Not saying, hey, I would like to play some. Saying like, F you guys. I'm going to be the one that's on the field. And it kind of probably came off as like coarse to a lot of people. But I was just, again, scrolling through Instagram this morning. And one of the things that I scrolled through is NFL like tweeted something about like Hard Knocks with John Gruden. I don't know if you saw that one or not.
And no. So I know that starts this week, I think.
I think so. And it's on Sunday, maybe. But it was on.
Can't wait.
One of the quote that he said is, he was like, and I really like it, and it kind of correlates to how you, I feel like you have to carry yourself as an athlete, as he goes, I think I'm paraphrasing, but he's like, everybody in the NFL, by the time they get here, they said, I have a dream of playing in the NFL, and I have a dream of making Pro Bowls, and I have a dream of, you know, winning a Super Bowl, and I have a dream of whatever, whatever. And he goes, I'm not into dreams. And in order for you to get a job on here, you're going to have to crush somebody's dream. You can't look at everybody here and say, you know what, I want you guys to love each other, but in order to get this done, you have to crush someone else's dream. Get your mind around that.
I imagine you just said that more eloquently than John Gruden did.
I think I said it with less F-bombs. But
that too.
I feel like in a position battle, like you want to, like you really want to be,
right,
you know, cordial with your guys and you're friends with them. Like I was never not friends with James White or Chantrell, but I always wanted more reps than him. And I would get, like, I would be frustrated when I wouldn't get the reps that I feel like I deserved or I wanted to get more. And so I was always trying to earn more snaps. I mean, you say in the media that, like, we're all just trying to work together and be a part of a team. But, like, bull. Like, you know exactly what you're trying to do.
Right.
You're trying to get as many reps for yourself as you can. And I think there's a guy, especially as a position we talked about last, I think it was the last podcast, maybe one before, where the wide receiver position is such a one-on-one spot. Like, it is so far devoid of all the things. So if you win a route and you beat a cornerback, I think that's one reason why a lot of times wide receivers and corners are your biggest trash talkers, because they really have more room to back it up.
Like, right.
It's a corner playing one-on-one coverage against a wide receiver. If you break up that pass, you did it. It's
right.
Not like, as a running back, I have so many other things that I have to rely on to make a claim that I did something.
Right.
Where receivers, you have to have that kind of, you know, it's that shooter mentality. Like with, you know, like Steph Curry, Klay Thompson makes a shot. Like, I made a shot in someone's face. I did that. Like, that's mine. And so you kind of have that, like, that's where that confidence comes from.
Right.
And I want somebody in that group, and I don't know who it's going to be. I haven't seen any, well, not any of them. I haven't seen any of them in recent, this fall camp version of
right.
these guys play. And I want to see somebody take that job, like, to earn that. And I think that also kind of depends on what they do with the scheme with the tight ends. Because, you know, let's say Petway just comes out and is absolute gangbusters, and like, maybe that's the guy that ends up, or you know, Shaw, that just is the guy that's like, this is my job, and they, you know, they cement it, and like, okay, I can't take this guy off the field.
Right.
We're gonna have to find another way to get these tight ends on, because it's not gonna be in lieu of this person.
Based on what I saw on Friday, and this was just one practice, I think with Michael Petway is
the real deal.
It is considerably above those other guys, and that's just based on what I saw.
In helmets,
yeah. But physically, man, that's a grown-ass dude. That is a grown-ass dude.
And he's
not, like, in the same way. Hakeem, like, you saw Hakeem, and it was his – he was obviously strong. Like, mm-hmm. You could tell he was really strong. But it was his length and just, like, the freakishness of him that you looked at. You're like,
right.
Man, like, that dude is scary, mm-hmm. You know. But you look at LaMichael Petway, and he's – the way that he's built, he's – not he doesn't have that same length. He's not 6'5 or whatever Hakeem is, mm-hmm. But he's 6'2", 6'3,
and he's
just
solid.
He's just built like a ship, like a brick shit house, dude.
Yeah.
Like, just like a tank.
And I'm excited to see that then, because again, that was what got the past X receivers that Iowa State has had of Allen Lazard and Hakeem Butler has been because they have been physical as shit.
Yeah,
when
he's just
playing.
Physically imposing when you see him.
And it's not
Sean Shaw doesn't have that, just because he's like 6'6 and looks like he weighs like 215 pounds.
Yeah.
He's built like me.
Yeah, he's skinnier.
Yeah.
He's long athletic, but and so like with if this position is going to continue in a way that it has been, it is a cornerback by the time they get to be in the middle of the fourth quarter is exhausted by just having to deal with play after play of having to hit back.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times, I mean, there are some corners that like that. I don't know personally any of the ones that are playing there now, but one that comes to mind, like Leonard Johnson. Leonard Johnson loved contact. He was the one that wanted to make you exhausted by being how physical he is. And if Petway is that type of physical, by the end of the game, by the end of the practice, the other corner is going to be like, dude, just like he's legitimately going to play with more space
right.
because he doesn't want to have to deal with that contact.
I think that Anthony Johnson has a little bit of that in him because they were going up against each other. Oh, man. I loved it.
Yeah.
That's grabbing each other, pushing each other. You know, there's a whole lot of extracurricular going in that one-on-one.
It's that one-on-one. I mean,
yeah.
It is I am stopping you from doing what you want, or I'm going to do
that
what I want and
good.
You can't stop me. And I think that's the – that attitude has to be there. So, you know, you don't want fist fights. Occasionally they happen. You really don't want them. But you do want like that competitiveness of like, you know, piss off. I'm going to do what I want to do.
Well, and that's what I liked about it was that I just like dudes who are just like, we're here to mix it up, mm-hmm. you know? And that was really the first time I'd gotten a chance to see Anthony Johnson up really up close like that. And where they're really mixing it up like that. And whether or not, you know, whether the defensive guy made a good play, maybe where the offensive guy made a good play and caught the ball, you know, they'd mix it up, plays over,
dap up,
go on to the next one.
Yep.
And it's like, and then the same, if they're up against each other again, the same thing's going to happen. It goes the same way, dap up, move on to the next one.
Yep.
And it's like someone, you know, one guy might win one time, another guy might win one another time. Mm-hmm. And it's just, but every time it's like, we're going to do this the same way and we're going to beat the crap out of each other. But at the end of the day, it's all respect,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
And that's where I was like, all right, that's cool. Like, I like the way the dynamic of this, because you can tell that they're trying to make each other better.
Yeah. And you have to, especially again, there's so many one-on-ones that like if you're a running back and your right guard misses a block and a defensive tackle comes through, you can do everything perfect and it doesn't matter. There's literally nothing else. Like
at the end of the day, Ray Lima's still going to blow your ass up.
I can't do anything. Like, my job is to get a -1 yard gain instead of a -4 yard gain and a fumble. Like, that's the best thing that I can do. And with wide receivers, granted, the ball may not be, like, thrown perfectly. But other than that, it's like, read the coverage, run your route, and beat the dude. And that exposition is really – I'm really interested in. And I think the second
– Oh, can I say one more thing about the receivers?
Yeah.
You want to know who looked really freaking good?
DeShonte Jones?
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
Yeah. He looked real good, dude.
I'm telling
you. He was like, he ran this one route. And man, I can't remember who it was in coverage, but it wasn't somebody that was like. It wasn't a scrub. He comes out and he ran kind of a jab in, like then into a flag, like mm-hmm. corner type route.
Yeah.
He had this dude like standing in cement.
Yep.
And just was wide open. Mm-hmm. And then there was another one where he, you know, the ball, I think, was kind of supposed to be a back shoulder type thing. And he jumped and then the ball ended up being further over his head. And he had to like reach way back like that and make the catch with the defender right there on him and caught it and then like rolled backwards over himself. And I was like, oh my goodness.
I'm telling you.
But that's where it's like you see that and he's been good in the past.
I'm telling you, man.
But I feel like he's like on a breakout type thing where he could have a huge season, you know?
I'm telling you. How long have I been on this DeShonte Jones looks really good kick?
Yeah.
Since spring.
Yeah. Yeah. He looks like he's ready to have a really good senior season.
And there's so much more confidence in the way that he's moving.
Well, that was the first time that this was in helmets. And I mean, I don't know if you make that catch when you got the pads on and everything like that. He doesn't have the arms like what Hakeem does, where he's got those really long arms. Mm-hmm. And it's a little easier to get your arms up like that when you got the pads on. But if he's doing the kind of things that he looked like on that, he's playing on Sundays. I mean, he's that kind of guy.
The routes that I have seen him running and the accuracy and the quickness that he's been operating out of are incredible.
Yeah.
And so I think I said that as I was coming out of one of the spring balls, like DeShonte Jones is the best offensive player on the field. No question. That's what it felt like when I watched it. So yes, I'm glad that you saw what
I'm interested
I saw.
To see like what you think coming out of when you're up there.
Okay.
Brock threw the ball really well too.
Good.
He dropped some dimes, dude. He had one that he threw to Tariq on the sideline right in front of me. Mm-hmm. And it was his first throw in one-on-ones. I mean, it was a streak, and he just dropped it right in there.
Like without –
right, perfectly in stride.
Yeah.
And then Tariq had the defender right on his back, and he just caught it right there and then kind of guided his way out of bounds. And I was like, yeah, that's the kind of stuff that I needed to see from Brock today.
Yeah, his thing with – it will operate different when he's in pads because his thing that he needs to get and continue and improve on is settling his feet when there is some threat of pressure. So when there is, you know, when you're in helmets and shoulder pads, one, in practice, quarterbacks just generally aren't going to get touched anyway,
mm-hmm.
And they shouldn't be. But two, when you're in helmets and shoulder pads, you're even farther away. Like there's nobody there. I think defensive linemen, just because it's so hard to block when people just have these baggy jerseys on,
right.
That like defensive linemen take like one or two steps, work one move and stop. And then they're not continuing to fight with offensive linemen. And then the linemen just like freeze and say,
right.
This is where I would be if it was, you know, a go time. But yeah, if he can settle his feet, then that's what really is going. So question number two. Yes?
Yeah, question number two. Let's get it.
Same exact
Let's get it.
Same exact question, but with the running backs, is there going to be a guy that takes a stranglehold of the position? Because at this point, there is, it's a by committee. I mean, they listed five oars on the preseason depth chart, and there's one of those guys has to do something to separate himself as saying, this is my job. And I don't know what that is, and I don't know who that's going to be. I have a feeling that it's going to be, you know, Sheldon, but Johnny looks really good. Apparently Breece Hall is a lot of, like, he's done really well. I haven't been able to see much of Breece Hall just because he was with the threes during spring ball, because he was, I don't know, 7 weeks removed from high school.
Right.
So
him and Jirel were both with the second group on, but I think that's just because that's where a lot of the freshmen were on Friday.
And so I don't know.
Johnny looked really good.
Yeah, it's just those guys
got sick, but.
Oh, yeah. But those, I think that just who in the running back group takes the dominant, this is my job, you're going to have to steal it from me. Like, one of the things that Herman's always phrases is, make yourself indispensable. Is you work hard enough that you make yourself indispensable that you will not take me off the field. If you do, the entire offense is worse. Like, I want to see somebody do that. Mm-hmm. And so X and tailback are the two positions I think that on the offense have the most up in the air. Like, you know, I think, because actually X might be Tariq. So Z receiver, I think we've been calling it wrong the entire time. I think Z receiver is the one that has the Petway. I think one, because I think X is Tariq. So I apologize for the misnomer there. Correct that.
But whichever one has all the oars by it.
Yeah. So I think it's the Z receiver, but Tariq and Deshante, like, there's a position battle, but
you know those two
are going to be the ones that are getting predominant amount of snaps. Like, you know that Julian Good-Jones is going to be your tackle. You know, like, Colin Newell is going to be your center. There's not a lot of questions. Brock Purdy is your quarterback. Like, we know that these things are set.
Chase Allen looked really good.
Yeah, he did. He has looked really good. But, like, you know that these positions are relatively set. And even there are certain positions where, like at Y, like, we know that all three of those guys are going to play. Well, Y, Y, and H with Sainer playing technically being listed as an H. But, like, we know those guys are going to play. It's just what percentage and what order they're going to play, because they're both going to play. Maybe Chase plays 70 snaps and Sainer plays 50 and Kolar plays 55. Like, we know that in some combination they're going to play a lot of snaps. But there's a lot of ors where, like, guy's going to play, guy's not going to play. And there's really two positions where that's the most prominent, which is on offense, I should say, which is that Z receiver, which, you know, again, whichever one Petway and Shaw are in, and the running back.
The idea of, like,
maybe one of your guard positions.
Right.
But I don't know how the younger guys with Ramos and Downing, if they are ready yet.
Yeah.
If not, then, you know, Olsen's going to be your guy, or, you know, whichever guard is going to be your stalwart there. But really, it's running back and Z receiver are the two in my mind that those guys need to take a stranglehold of the position.
The idea of having, like, Chase and Charlie Kolar out there together running routes. I mean, remember the West Virginia game where Charlie Kolar ran kind of a drag where he went up, but then he hit the guy and pushed him back, and West Virginia thought it was pass interference.
Which it probably was.
It probably was, but the idea of using those guys, like, rubbing off of each other across the middle of the field, just with the size that they have.
There's a lot you can do.
I mean, those are almost – they almost look like automatic completions just because of the way that – they're how big they are compared to a lot of the people that are going to have to cover them.
Yeah, what it feels like, and you might be able to attest to this, and it's obviously going to be more prevalent in pads when you can be more physical.
Yeah.
But you know when, again, a basketball reference and from not a basketball guy, there are certain players that, like, they can establish post position whenever they want. Mm-hmm. Like, Shaquille O'Neal is obviously the guy that comes to mind because I just don't know a lot of, like, current big men, but I don't know what their style is. But, like, if Chase Allen wants to get a position of being like, I'm going to run a curl here, and I'm going to put this defender on my back, and I'm going to show you, you know, my number 11 is going to be huge for the quarterback. You're going to see every square millimeter of this number.
Right.
And, like, it kind of reminds me of point guards just, like, casually dribbling up the floor, and eventually he gets post position. He just kind of, like, lobs, like flops it into the middle, like, on the block where the guy's already got position because it's so guaranteed that he's going to be there. That's sort of what it kind of feels like with Chase in the middle of the field, and with Kolar, sort of a little, not quite as middle of the field. He doesn't bang as much in the middle. He does more of, he's more of the finesse tight end of them. He's the stretch four. Yeah.
He was the guy who was creating space for Trey Young at Norman North.
He's George.
He's George. There we go.
So you have that.
The old man game. They're kind of built the same.
Sort of.
If you look at it.
Yeah. A little bit. But, so you have, like, anyway, so being able to have that kind of sort of layup-ish feel.
Charlie Kohler is George and Chase Allen is Marcus Fizer.
Okay, I'll go with that.
There we go.
I'll go with that.
All right, want to take a break?
Sure.
And then we'll get the last three questions from Jeff. When we come back, Football and Random Things on the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast Network. Hey, guys, just want to take a quick break from the podcast to tell you a little bit about the professional MBA program at the Ivy College of Business at Iowa State University. You can advance your career with the Ivy MBA from Iowa State. You can take classes twice a week in downtown Des Moines. Plus, you can take electives in Des Moines, Ames, or online. The part-time MBA is taught by the same faculty as the top 50 ranked MBA programs on campus. You can ask about scholarships and waiving the GMAT at ivybusiness.iastate.edu. That's ivybusiness.iastate.edu to find out more about the Ivy MBA from Iowa State University. Now back to Football and Random Things. Welcome back to Football and Random Things. Jeff got the booger out of his throat, so we're good to go now.
That's off-air magic, man. That's really it's the glory of being in the studio where I don't want to do that on, like, with a mic in my mouth or by my mouth.
Just wait until there's a camera sitting right there.
Oh, you guys are going to be in for such a treat with the amount of random crap that goes on.
Well, we're not even going to, like, pay attention to the camera. That's what I think is going to be fun, is that it's just going to be us recording a podcast like normal, but there will be a camera on us. So I feel like we'll almost forget half the time.
I'm still going to have my shoes off up on a chair.
Yeah, I saw your foot up there before, and I was going to tell you to
sandals.
Put it. Did you see the picture of Antonio Brown's feet?
No.
Oh, my God.
Crusty old toes?
I don't even want to think about it.
Get yourself a pedicure.
No, it's like the bottom of his feet, too. It's like, that man needs some better shower shoes. That's what I think I learned from that. I mentioned before, Cyclone Fanatic shirts, apparel will be available at the State Fair. What day does the State Fair start? It's like this week.
Thursday, I think.
Thursday? Okay,
Thursday,
so Thursday. You can find those shirts and all of the rest of our apparel inside the main entrance of the cattle building to the left. There's going to be a Cyclone Fanatic banner, so you'll be able to see that once you step in and look to the left inside the cattle building at the Iowa State Fair. There you'll be able to find all of our new licensed Iowa State shirts, plus past Cyclone Fanatic shirts like the Unprofessional Fan, those guys in Ames, the Kyle Kemp Legends Tee, Horns Down, all of those cool things. And then you can also get a custom Cyclone Fanatic hat made. They'll have a bunch of hats to choose from. You get to choose what color you want the Cyclone Fanatic logo to be. It'll take about an hour. So you go, you get your hat,
you go,
then you
get
can walk around
dog.
For an hour. You go and get a corn dog. You can go and get, what temperature is the beer?
Head to the Bud Tent.
The Bud Tent. It's like really cold though, isn't it, beer?
Very.
Yeah, I've never been to the State Fair, so I don't
what?
Know. Yeah, the Toby Keith concert will be my first time.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, even if you don't enjoy the fair, like, it's just a thing that you have to do.
Believe
it's
me,
like,
I've
you know
heard
what?
This.
You know, I've never eaten a hamburger before. What? What are you talking about? Yes, you have.
No, I just, like, don't have. Okay, so where I grew up, there were a lot of people that went to the fair, but it were the people that were in 4-H.
Right.
You know, were showing
animals. Yeah, but how long have you lived in Central Iowa now?
I have lived here for 7 years.
Yeah, your excuse is gone. You have had 7 years worth of opportunities to go. And here's your next excuse that I'm going to come with is, yeah, I'm always working camp during the fair. Bull, not all the time. They have, like, evenings off, or they have practices that are closed to the media.
Well, I also have time to go to Toby Keith, so.
Yep. Your fault.
Hey, I'm not sitting here, like, defending it. I'm just saying I've never been.
It's just never happened.
Yeah, to be completely honest, man, I've just never really had that big of an urge to go. If I was still in Clarendon, I wouldn't even go to the Page County Fair.
Not even to see what it is?
No.
Not even see what all the hullabaloo is about?
The hullabaloo. This is a...
I just caused you to be tongue-tied by me saying hullabaloo.
I was watching a YouTube video of Howard Cosell on Battle of the Network Stars. I imagine it's from like 1976. And there was one of the stars said hullabaloo like six times in a 30 second span. I sent it to Rob Gray and I was like, this is the world record for most uses of hullabaloo in one YouTube video.
I feel like that's a phrase like unique New York. It's like a good mouth warm up if you're going to start talking for a while.
Hullabaloo.
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 I think we might have just challenged the record.
The arsonist's oddly shaped feet.
Antonio Brown's oddly shaped feet.
Anyway.
All right. Question number three for Iowa State football fall camp.
I would say the question that I have, the third question, again, no importance from 1 to 5, how does the offensive line develop over the course of the fall, knowing their quarterback, but not knowing their running back, where they are going to do what they're going to do and understand what their jobs are. But each running back has kind of a different preference and a different style with how they're going to go about things and what they like and what they don't. And they had Montgomery all of last year. And so a lot of times, I think you mentioned it, that somebody, it actually might have been Jay, that said, like, you know, a lot of the guys liked blocking for Montgomery because there is almost that, like, whatever, if I miss a block, he's going to make a miss anyway. So they kind of had a feeling of that, like, security of, like,
wouldn't you, like, not want that, though? You don't want that mindset?
I guess
the complacency of that?
They could be more aggressive is what it meant. It's like, not necessarily being complacent, but they could be more aggressive because if they missed, Montgomery was going to make a miss anyway. And I don't think that was, like, a true, like, I'm going to go do this. But, like, it was always in the back of your mind that you could just –
I'm going to go mess up.
I'm going to go screw up. But I think the way that they carry themselves is going to be different this year because they are now all experienced. There's no real new guys on there, again, unless there's a position battle where I think the only one that I can come up with that might be a position battle is, like, if Colin Downing or Joey Ramos is going to push – Trevor Downing.
Colin Downing, the punter.
Colin Downing, yeah. Trevor Downing.
And obviously does have a punter controversy right now.
They do, but...
due to injury.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, no, we talked about this already, didn't we? Yeah, I forgot about that.
But they... at that left guard spot, one of those two guys going to push Olsen for that left guard spot? I think he's the only one
that's... Downing, probably.
That's a maybe. And so I don't think that they're... You know, maybe he's ready, maybe he's not, but... they're going to probably play with each other in the same order from left to right for the entire fall camp. Are they going to be able to develop consistency with each other in creating movement? Because we talked about last year, their pass protection was actually pretty good. They pass pro'd really well. And a lot of times the pressure that was brought on was Brock induced upon himself, where, you know, I think we talked about this in the quarterback one, is, and this is, again, the thing that he needs to work on the most is just settling himself down.
Right.
Where if a guy is going to be running towards, when he stands in the pocket, his left shoulder is downfield, his right shoulder is upfield, behind him, or whatever you want to call it. And so if a guy is running towards his right shoulder, what he needs to do is step up in the pocket and resettle. Just think Tom Brady, think Peyton Manning, think Drew Brees, where their feet are really, really fast. Think Baker Mayfield, Russell Wilson, all those guys, really fast feet, resettle in the pocket and throw. And a lot of times last year, Brock would feel that pressure, and instead of stepping up and settling, he'd, like, duck underneath it and run out to the right, which when you run out to the right, all the job, the work the offensive lineman has done is gone. They have no idea where you are anymore, and so they can't really block for someone where they don't know where they are. So as soon as you start scrambling, you're on your own. And so the pass protection for the offensive line is generally actually pretty good last year. But what was pretty bad was getting that running movement to create an opening for Montgomery to use, where sometimes he would have it. And like West Virginia, they blocked really well and they created a bunch of space for him to move, which is why he had, 200 yards and 3 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. And so, or 2 touchdowns, I don't remember what it was, but they created movement for him to actually use. And so these guys, the guys in the backfield are not David Montgomery. They can't, you know, they're not going to be dazzling NFL players yet. I don't, maybe Breece Hall, maybe, you know, Jarrell Brock, like maybe, but these guys they're not going to have that same kind of independence of I'm going to do what I'm going to do regardless of what you do. So they're going to need to actually start creating movement, opening lanes for the running backs, and having these five guys be together the entire way through camp is going to be really beneficial, but they need to develop through camp. And so that's not going to be a thing. It's, you know, I don't know if this is just a thing that like my parents said, or if it's something that most parents say, but kind of the old parable of like the toad in the water or the toad in the pot, where if you put a toad in a pot of boiling water and then turn it on and slowly raise it up, it'll stay in there until it dies because it doesn't notice change. But if you drop a toad in boiling water, it's going to jump out right now because it can see it. So this is one of the things that you're not going to see it consistently day to day to day to day. Like they got better today. It's going to be like from practice one to game one, there has to be this gradual, consistent toad in the water, slowly seeing growth. Like they're going to have to eventually be really good, but it's going to be just developing over time. That's another question that I have, is how much are they going to come along? Because they're going to need to manufacture a run game. They're not going to just get like, hey, 32, here's a football, go do something cool with it.
Yeah. This has nothing to do with Iowa State. Just a general football question. How hard is it for an offensive line to block for a guy like Pat Mahomes, who's always out like doing his thing, and then is like, when he runs to the right, it's not It's not, uh-oh, what's going to happen? It's like,
find somebody.
It's like, I'm looking this way, I'm going to throw the ball clear back the other direction for a touchdown.
Well, I don't think that they're necessarily, I mean, the offensive linemen know, like I said, for the most part, they have an idea where the quarterback is, because if you think about blocking in general, it's blind. Blocking is blind. It's all faith, where you have to trust where a guy is going to be and where they think they are, or rather than where you think they are, because if you could see where they were, your back's to the person you need to be hitting.
Right.
So everything is blind. And so when quarterbacks do start to scramble too much, you're eliminating half of your help, because you have five guys you can throw to and five guys that are blocking for you and one guy with a ball. That's your 11.
Right.
So when you start to scramble, when you start to break the pocket more than normal, you're literally five of the people that you want to help, or you're pretty much eliminating them from doing anything at all. And so to answer a question with a guy like Pat Mahomes, it's probably fine because he gets away with it.
And he's also like a freak.
He's a freak. And it's also one of those things where those guys probably know that as, you know,
I think it'd be hard too, because especially with the way, I mean, in the NFL, like Pat Mahomes is not getting hit in practice.
Yeah.
So like you would not, I feel like you almost wouldn't even know how to prepare for the way that he's going to be running around like that, just because it's like, he doesn't actually have to do that in practice.
I know skill guys will do scramble drill a lot, especially with quarterbacks that will scramble. Like I bet Iowa State does a lot of scramble drill at some point during their development. Game one, because they know that Brock has a tendency to run around, and you need to practice that. At some point, pocket breaks down, you got to know where you're going to go when he runs. But with linemen, with a guy, like I said, like Mahomes, or like, you know, let's say Baker, just because I think they're relatively similar players, that those guys probably know that there's a chance that if they see their guy, like, that was impressive.
Impressive. Yeah. And with like breaking it with his tooth.
Yep.
I was like, damn, that dude is a badass.
So if I'm blocking and I know that the guy, where you're trying to go, I'm going to put myself in between you and that. And then as soon as you start to move in a completely opposite direction, you're like, well, shit, he left. Because the only thing that they're going to be trying to get to is either like if a defensive lineman leaves, it's either like some zone, some like weird funky zone blitz, or the quarterback ran the other way. And so you have to kind of trust the fact that if the guy runs hard to the right, you kind of just got to like chase him. Like you got to, if he does come back around, you can pick him up eventually. But I would assume you just got to spot the ball and be like, well, good luck.
Okay. What's the next question?
In the same vein, because we're talking about Purdy, and you might have a better insight on this, is what is the way they handle, and I'm going to use the term very loosely, of their stars, where the guys that they know, like we talked about before, like Milton and like, you know, Julian Good-Jones and like Brock Purdy and
Ray Lima.
Mike Rose and Ray Lima, like
Jaquan Bailey,
those guys that they're not in position battles. They know exactly what they're going to do. The guys that come to mind when I was playing are like Alexander Robinson and Austin Arnott. Those guys, there was zero question that they were going to be the starters. None.
Well, and you know, like with a lot of those guys, they've played so much, they know what they're going to do. Like right. They don't need to be out there like practicing.
They need to get in shape.
Yeah.
They very much need to get in shape, and that's where the football reps have to come from. But like, you also don't want, you know, some freak thing to happen to somebody like again, in the middle of the season last year, and he gets hurt pulling his hamstring. Like, you don't want that to happen in a non-contact, something right. like that. So how do they, like, what's their philosophy on that? And I'm just curious about that. And
you'll probably have a better understanding of that just because it was, one, it won't be the first practice.
Yeah.
You know, and there'll be more contact.
What have they done in years past? Like, I don't know if that's been a thing that I guess anybody's paid attention to. This is more just a curiosity for me.
I don't know. I mean, I haven't been there enough to know. And we only get to see that one practice.
And I think the other question that I would have is who gets that? Who gets the guarantees?
You're the one that told me about David, how they used him a lot in fall camp, right? Last year where he would a lot of times kind of be back in the back.
Oh,
where
yeah.
Wouldn't let him get in there. And then he would just be like practicing on his own almost. Like whatever the play was, he'd be doing what he's supposed to do, but he's not actually in the rep. Yeah.
It'd be behind. That was actually during the spring scrimmage.
Okay.
When it was a non-scrimmage.
Yeah.
He didn't participate at all in that one, but he was 20 yards behind the play, taking his steps as if he was going through the play.
See, I figure that a lot of it will probably be kind of like that to an extent, where they look at their guys like that and they're like, all right, we know that you know what you need to do.
Yeah.
And we know like what you can do. We don't need you to see you do this like 100 times.
Yeah. The guys that really come to mind the most are guys like Brock But Brock needs reps. Like, he needs practice.
He's young enough still, too.
He's young enough still. He needs practice. But guys like Ray, like, going to be a senior. Jaquan Bate, like, they're going to be seniors. They've played the same position for three straight years now.
Marcel,
I would say Marcel would still need some work. Not because he knows what he's doing, but they got to work together. Like, those linebackers got to play well together, and that group of linebackers is going to be different. There's some pups.
Mike Rose is still a pup.
Mike Rose is a pup. He's a very big puppy now.
We'll come back to the other guy.
And then we'll come back to the other one. But, like, they're going to have to play together. And the secondary is also, again, like, a guy like Eisworth. It's really – he's only in his true second year. But a guy like Eisworth, is that position is flexible. So they can put him wherever he wants. But those guys just need reps. But kind of communicating then with the corners and feeling out those two, you know, with Speedy and Johnson. Like, what are those two guys going to do? What are they like? How comfortable are they with each other? But, yeah, like, guys like Lima, like, how much is he going to play
the other thing,
camp?
The thing, like, even at the receiver spots is that you feel good about Deshante and Tariq, especially.
But rhythm.
Yeah, it's the rhythm. Well, yeah, and you can get the rhythm from doing, a lot, like, some other stuff too, you know. Mm-hmm. But there's guys behind them that you want to see, you know, want to see what they can do. How much should they get on the field? Landon Akers, like, or even Joe Skates. We talked about Sean Shaw, Jalen Martin. Yeah. People that are trying to work their way into the rotation
a little bit. When Deshante needs a breather. He's just run three verticals in a row. He needs a breather. Who's going in for him?
Right.
And what practice are they going to have?
Right.
Yeah. I'm curious. It's just one of the things, and I think this is more like a staff decision of how they handle those people, because it is different. It's absolutely different because
And it's probably different now in year four than it was in year one.
Right. And I think they have much more certainty of guys that they can give the guarantees to. And again, I'm saying that very loosely. And
who do you think the captains will be?
I would think
Lima will be one.
I feel like Ray will
be
one.
He's already won last year.
I think Deshante, I would guess, would be one.
Uh-huh.
This is all personality based.
Right.
I would think Sheldon might have a chance to be one.
Yeah.
Just as
one of the tight ends, maybe. There's got to be somebody
like
from defense.
Chase
Marcel.
Maybe, but yeah, Marcel. Marcel, Ray on defense, and then I would think Deshante and Sheldon on offense, and maybe Chase. I don't know personalities, but that's going to be an inside the locker room thing.
Well, yeah, I was just wondering if
I would think
because it's not as clear as I think it
I would
was last year.
Marcel and Ray are really the two. Marcel, Ray, and Deshante would be the ones that I'd feel pretty confident, but I don't know if they're going to do three or five or four or whatever, or whoever just ends up being that list. But yeah, I'm just curious to see who gets that kind of, and at what point do they start backing off, and at what point do they start saying, okay, we need to get you in game shape. You know, Ray, we know what you're doing. We're going to let X, Y, and Z defensive linemen get
Isaiah Lee.
We're gonna let these guys get reps while everyone's still fresh, while they're still gonna whatever. We're gonna kind of protect you a little bit. Or do they like flip it around and be like, hey, we're gonna get you a lot of work, and they probably won't explicitly say this to him, but like, we're gonna get him a lot of work in the first 2 weeks, and then as we start getting closer to school starting, we're gonna back him off and we're gonna make him play one series of the ones, and then he's pretty much done for the day. Like, what kind of way do they go about handling those guys? It's not the same as the NFL where like your quarterback is worth $52 million. Like, okay, well, maybe that guy, just purely from a financial investment standpoint, you need to not hurt him. But from guys that are just
Pat Mahomes, we don't want Pat Mahomes to get hurt.
Let's make sure Pat Mahomes doesn't get hurt.
That's why he would not probably won't play in at least the first
two.
Well, yeah,
first and
game.
Fourth, I bet he doesn't play at all.
Yeah.
The second one, maybe a quarter or a series.
Yeah.
And then the third one will play probably a half.
Yeah.
And then after that, done.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I was surprised that Joe Flacco didn't even play for the Broncos in that one game.
I'm not really all that surprised either. I mean, preseason game number one, they're trying to make – my understanding is they're trying to make their first round of pretty significant cuts.
Yeah.
So they need to give the guys that are on that cut line a lot of reps so they can get a better decision. We're like, Joe Flacco, they're not going to cut Joe Flacco.
That'd be something, wouldn't it?
It'd be a hell of a cut. Flacco didn't make the cut. Wow.
Super Bowl champion Joe Flacco. Elite quarterback Joe Flacco. All right, last one.
Last one. We really haven't talked much about the defense because there's not a lot of question on the defense. We know who, again, all things assumed here where there's no, like, crazy, you know, ridiculous thing that happens. Like, Chase Allen gets hit by a car. Like,
Again.
Damn it, Chase. Stay off of 4th Street. But
they put in I love how they put in the, like, flashing lights. So, like, right after that happened.
Like, oh, I wonder how that happened. But No, so like most of the positions are pretty set. Like we know who the corners are going to be. Uh-huh. We know who the defensive linemen are going to be. We even know who pretty much who the defensive line backups are going to be. We know who our linebackers are going to be.
And the backups.
And the backups slash rotational guys. We're like, I think Marcel is going to play probably the predominance of snaps and Rose will play the predominance of snaps. But guys like Hummel and Vance, they're going to play a ton.
Chandler Pulvermacher.
Like they're going to play a ton of snaps.
Yeah.
And so we know pretty much who the rotation of guys is going to be. In the secondary, we know that it's the top three safeties plus another couple guys that are behind him, which again, they're going to rotate in the corners. We know pretty much everything except the one still kind of out there is Will McDonald. Like, what does he do for this defense? And is it going to be as much fun as I think it's going to be?
He looks unlike any guy that they've had at linebacker.
Because he's a defensive end who's a sprinter.
Like, yeah.
He's a huge, fast, enormous athlete.
Right.
He's like, what, 6'3", 6'4"?
6'3", yeah. And but he looks bigger than he even is.
220, 225, but runs like a deer. I mean, the guy is a freak athlete. And that kind of freakishness can be really fun to work with if they do it right.
He's kind of skinny, but I almost wonder if they don't even, like, want to put weight on him like that.
Because he's fast.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to see what that position looks like. And if they cater it to him or if they try and teach him how to do it it has been done before, like Willie Harvey did last year. Like, are they going to try and make him play like Willie Harvey or are they going to try and like change the defense and morph it into what he can do and then let him play that position? Like the Will McDonald thing, like what does that look like? In the same conversation we had, like, does that Z receiver position, if somebody commands that position, it changes what they can do on offense completely. Like where the tight ends go, how many running backs, where does Tariq play? Where's the dynamic shifts if they have one person that steps up. Well, Will, if McDonald can be kind of the dominant player that in my brain they're shooting for, if he can do that, it totally morphs the kind of stuff that they can do on defense because it allows them to be super aggressive and bring pressure with just four and then confuse the shit out of people on the back end. They can play this casual defense, or this kind of cautious, that three deep defense. But if they're going to get to the quarterback in 2.5 seconds, they can start playing a lot more underneath coverage. They can play everything forward. They can start tightening their zones. They can start tightening their coverage. And they don't have to play so far back because they know that McDonald, Bailey, Lima, or Wazirike is going to get to the quarterback
right now.
It's like that's the same thing that like the Rams have on defense when they have Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh last year. And that's not even Brockers was a defensive end for him. Dexter Fowler. Yeah. You have these guys that are just, they're going to get to the quarterback really quickly. So you can be way more, Aqib Talib can play straight up press on 90% of his snaps because if he's going to get beat in 3.5 seconds, the ball's tackled by the time 3.5 seconds rolls around, and he runs out of his man coverage protection. So if they can do something with McDonald to be, whether it's aggressive and use that athleticism in getting to the quarterback on space, or if they're going to use him in this kind of, again, maybe it's man protect or man to man coverage because he's just a stupid good athlete on some tight end. Like, we got some running back that we can't put a safety on because we still want to play our shell. We can't put a corner on because they have two good wide, you know, we have, it's playing Texas. We have, is it Colin Johnson? I forget the name of their big wide receiver.
Yeah, Colin Johnson.
So they have this big wide receiver. We can't take Anthony Johnson off of him. We have to have Speedy on another guy. And okay, we have another third person that we have to cover. We can't leave Eisworth down because you have to play over top, whatever. Boom. There's McDonald's plays. Like, what do they do with him? That's the thing that I'm really interested in because his ceiling is so high athletically. What do they do schematically to follow it up? So that's the fifth thing that I'm interested to see is what he does because it changes what they can do on defense.
I think the only guy I've ever seen that played linebacker like him that's like built that way, at least in college, he's not built this way anymore, is like junior year Levante David at Nebraska. Do you remember what he looked like?
I actually don't because I just remember what he looks like.
Now he's like a huge ass dude. But like back then he was like not necessarily skinny. I mean, he was built well, but he didn't look like a guy that should be playing linebacker. He looked like he should be playing safety.
Yeah.
You know, and like that's, but I wouldn't say Will McDonald looks like he should be playing safety either because he doesn't look like any prototypical like at any position.
No, he doesn't. He looks like an athlete.
Yeah. He just looks like a dude who's going to fly around and like tackle the football.
He's going to go real fast in any direction that you have him go and good luck trying to stop him.
Right. And that's what I remember of that first year that Levante David was at Nebraska when he had like 140 tackles or something, just something ridiculous. And it was like, he showed up like 3 weeks before the season started, and they're like, oh my God, this guy is really good. And they just threw him out there and they said, Levante, we don't know. Like, just go tackle the football.
Yeah. Just you and,
yeah.
play outside the tackle and just,
yeah,
just run.
Just go tackle people.
Just run.
And that's what I imagine like Will McDonald's going to do, is just like run around and tackle people.
Yeah. And so I think the,
I was almost concerned that he's going to just run around and tackle me.
He just sees that there's a person, like the you know, ball kind of skips off the ground. Like
Purdy, I pick it up and Purdy, he runs and just tackles
Purdy throws an incomplete pass. It kind of just dribbles over the sideline. You just pick it up. You know, you got your notebook or notepad in hand,
yeah.
and you're just taking notes. Like you pick it up and you like pick up the ball to toss it back to the equipment guy, and just out of nowhere from across the field, McDonald just lays you the F out.
It's Space Jam when Stan catches the ball and then the Monstars all dive on top of him,
but it's just Will.
Yeah, but yeah, it's only
just,
Will
it's
McDonald.
Just Will McDonald,
and then they have to run in with the stretcher and pump me full of air. To
how in Space Jam did they not call any flagrant fouls?
Listen, there's a lot of questions that if we really wanted to deep dive into the you
not
know
one.
Into the rules conversation about Space Jam, there's some serious conversations we could have there.
Not one.
All right, man, can't wait for next Monday to hear your report on what you see at practice.
I'm pumped.
Does this time work for you? Can we do this time every week?
Should. Earlier would be better, but
okay. What about 10:30? 10.
Let's do that.
Because then once we start doing our Facebook Live, we want it to be at the same time.
Yeah,
we can make an official announcement, but
somewhere between 10 and 11 in the morning on Mondays.
Okay, we'll do 10:30 on Mondays. Right in between the 10 and 11.
Deal.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you guys again soon. Peace.